Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the HTXC AfriCast. I'm back after a short hiatus, trying to get more guests on the show, and when there's a guest, I get booted, it seems. But
you are right.
Joining me today, saying that I'm right, is Brendan.
Hello.
Laughing in the background is Nick.
That's the most unenthusiastic laugh I've ever
heard. It's real. It's the realest laugh you've ever heard.
How was the AfriCast without me, guys? Did you miss me?
It was all right, actually. I mean, we just sat there mostly in stunned horror.
Yeah, with Nick. We'll have a link to last week's podcast in case you missed it, because you were out of the country. Or
you could save it for Halloween if you want, but we wouldn't, because it's about the cyber crimes bill, and you really should make your feelings known before Parliament. Oh, well, ahead of... You make your feelings known to Parliament ahead of the hearings before Parliament.
Flipping our overseas English. The net neutrality over here, we got this.
Mm.
Let us use the internet to look at weird stuff, man.
Yeah, we just want memes.
We want
make more memes. Make memes great again.
I'm more along the lines of like, I don't want memes, but I'll defend your right to make memes.
That's how we get the kids into the protest. Like, they'll take away your memes. Somebody said... they compared that the taxation of sugar was like saying to a kid, every time you logged onto the Wi-Fi, you needed to give someone a dollar. And like, I would literally kill someone. but that's something else. So what are we talking about today, guys? Who wants to go first?
Well, I was going to talk about internet madness. The internet melting down because Doctor Who is going to be a woman.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, I know. I mean, here's the thing. I don't know if either of you guys watched Doctor Who.
Not. I think I've watched half of one of the first ones when it was still black and white. I only watched it because that was the first episode of the Daleks. They had the Daleks. I was like, they can't really be trash bins. And they were. And then there was another episode where they wanted an army of Cybermen in the background, so they just painted them onto some cardboard in the background. I didn't watch it to make fun. I was just like, that's really resourceful. But I haven't watched it, so I can't say I'm a fan or not.
Okay. Well,
I watched a bit of the last season.
With Peter Capaldi?
Yes.
Okay.
Mainly because of Peter Capaldi, because he's just amazing to watch.
Mm.
But yeah, I wouldn't describe myself as a Doctor Who fan, or what do they call themselves? Whovians.
I have no idea.
I think that's the...
Well, no, I used to be married to a Whovian.
Yeah.
Like, we used to go watch Doctor Who every other Saturday. And I've here's a full disclosure, I'm not a fan. Mm. I mean, I don't think it's a terrible program.
Yeah, no, it's not terrible by a long
shot. But, there are loads of popular... Is it as bad as The Jersey Shore? No, of course not.
Oh, my God. Geez, that was a jump to compare.
Well, but this is the thing. When people say, like, I don't like this, you know, it's nice to have, you know, a benchmark of what I consider terrible. And, you know, Doctor Who's nowhere near that.
Yeah.
I
know a lot of, like, people who are engineers and doctors. They watch The Jersey Shore. Sure, other shows like it. Like, it's cathartic. You just sit there and you turn off your brain and you laugh at it. Mm. And you keep on going with your life. But that's an aside.
Anyway, the point is, so the thing is, I don't think anyone sitting in here cares if Doctor Who is a woman.
Oh, no. Or if Doctor Who couldn't care less.
Yeah. Well, you could probably, if you tried, if you put your back into it, you probably could. But
I'm going to go back 10 years and become a diehard Doctor Who fan. So I can have
What amazed me, well, I don't say amazed me, I mean, because it's not even amazing or surprising anymore, but it, you know, it's depressed me unutterably, was the backlash against this. I think that I saw, like, there's this one guy saying, the last thing we need is a TARDIS filled with bras. You know, it's like,
what?
Yeah.
I didn't see towels lying on the floor all over the TARDIS in the last one.
I didn't see any laundry lines in there. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, did you see some of the backlash?
Yeah, I saw some of the backlash, and some of it was like, my life is over, and women can't be doctors. And I was like, but doctor is a gender-neutral term. Like,
and so is the character, actually.
Yeah.
You want to hear a weird thing? Jodie Whittaker, the woman who's going to be playing Doctor Who.
Yeah.
She's not even the first woman to play Doctor Who.
Really?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
A few years back, well, quite a while back.
Oh, didn't Billie Piper play it for a little while?
No. She was a companion.
Okay.
But a few years back, they did a comic relief episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Where Rowan Atkinson actually played Doctor Who.
What?
And Jonathan Pryce played the Master.
Okay.
By the way, if you've ever seen Blackadder, you'll know that that's not a big jump to Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Right?
He even looks like Blackadder in the first video that pops up.
Right. And there's a sequence where the Doctor reforms several times. I mean, this isn't canon, obviously.
Yeah.
He reforms several times, and he ends up as Joanna Lumley.
Okay.
So, Joanna Lumley was the first female Doctor Who. Yeah.
The name of the special is Doctor Who, The Curse of Fatal Death.
And you know who wrote it?
Who?
Stephen Moffat. Whatever happened to that guy, right?
Gee.
Yeah.
I watched a cool video of... there's a YouTuber named Nerdcube, who's one of the biggest Doctor Who fans. And he sat down and he spoke to Moffat. And it was funny because... It's a huge fan. Like, you obviously see he really admires Moffat and he's one of his idols. And he's trying to ask him questions. He can't contain how excited he is. But that's a really cool video. I should link it.
Mm. So one of the things that really shocked me was people being so offended by the fact that a fictional character who travels through time and changes form multiple times is now a woman.
Well...
I mean, like, really, that's what you're going to be offended by? Like, sure, if all of a sudden AMC had to come out and say, Walter White is now going to be played as a woman in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
I can understand maybe that's not really going to work because, I don't know, the character of Walter White was such a stereotypical angry male character, like,
well, no. But then again, you're talking about, first of all, you're talking about different genres,
mm.
and second of all, you're talking about different kind of rules of a universe, right? Yeah. For example, if one week you're watching Breaking Bad and there's, you know, what's his name?
Bryan Cranston
cooking up a batch with, what's his name? Aaron Paul, right?
Mr. Need for Speed.
Yeah, and... And you know, then the next week you tune in and Walter White's a woman and it doesn't turn out to be a dream sequence, which is the only way you could really get away with that within that created reality, then you would sit there going, not even David Lynch would pull this crap. I mean, you know, but within the realm of science fiction, when you've established a situation where the character is incredibly malleable, it's you're not exactly breaking the engine when you say, okay, well, the Doctor will respawn as a woman.
Yeah.
Respawn?
Well, that's what he does, isn't he?
After a short refractory.
See, obviously not a Whovian because the technical term is probably something else.
Do they use, I thought, is it respawn, the word that they use?
Well, he regenerates.
Yeah, I thought the word was regenerate.
There you go, respawn. See?
Whatever. So same thing.
This reminds me a lot of last year.
A pedant says.
Yeah, last year.
Last year when, or was it the year before when they announced that... they cast the Dark Tower. And how do you say his name?
Idris Elba.
I always forget. He was cast as the main character, the Gunslinger. Yeah. I don't want to spoil the book, but if you read like the last few pages of the book, it will make sense why that's possible in the fiction.
Yeah.
Mm. And again, I don't understand. Even if it didn't in the fiction make sense, why does it matter?
Exactly.
The only part that they said was Stephen King wrote the gunslinger to look like him. It's mentioned multiple times in the book. But if it isn't, so what? Like, they're going to be 100% truthful to the books.
I'm pretty sure Stephen King is really impressed that they cast Idris Elba.
Yeah.
To make I think he even said
on Twitter, like, oh, this is fantastic.
Well, you see, this is what I was talking to you guys about the other day when this first story came out, which was... there is this element of fan entitlement.
Yeah.
You know, let's play devil's advocate and look at it from both sides of the coin. As a fan, if you are a dedicated fan to a certain show or a certain intellectual property, and you are part of a mass that makes this intellectual property incredibly profitable for the people who make it, do your concerns not... Is it not fair to say that your concerns should, to a degree, be listened to, right? I mean, because, you know, let's be brutally honest here. At the end of the day, as much as it's great to see a glass ceiling broken, and I might actually tune in to watch this series of Doctor Who, because Doctor Who is a character with, you know, basic building blocks. He's got, like, you know, enthusiasm for everything that he sees.
Yeah.
There's a TARDIS. He can be quite...
Sonic screwdriver.
He can be ruthless at times, all right? But generally speaking, you know, Chris Eccleston's Doctor Who was not the same as David Tennant's Doctor Who, was not the same as Peter Capaldi's Doctor Who. Each actor is given their chance to put their personal stamp on it, and I'd be interested to see, as the first long, you know, first female Doctor Who with a series dedicated to that character, what Jodie Whittaker would do. So I'd be interested in that, okay? But as much as those things are... You know, arguments I can make for the character, or for the casting rather. I don't care because I'm not a fan, really. So, should the fans' concerns be listened to a degree? Because, like I said, all these things are great, but if viewership drops off on Doctor Who, how long are they going to stick with Jodie Whittaker?
That's a good question. I don't know how much they bow to.
Well, yes, and I do kind of get where you're coming from, because when you look at Top Gear, which is another series produced by the BBC, and when they dropped the Jeremy Clarkson trio, I can't even remember the names anymore.
Hammond, May,
and Clarkson. When they dropped those three,
well, they didn't drop them all. They fired. Oh, yeah. They didn't fire them. They basically.
They didn't renew his contract.
So they got rid of him.
Yeah, they didn't renew his contract, and then the other two left in unison.
Yeah.
But people said that they wouldn't watch that show, and when the new season rolled around, sure, the first pilot did well because people were interested to see what happened. But, I mean, I think we all remember what happened to Chris Evans with the second season. He got canned.
I think the show now has less than an eighth or something
in terms of the viewership.
Which honestly, still a lot of people, but it isn't surprising that they're lost.
But
so much.
there was a instance where the fans were like, "We don't like this. Change it."
Yeah. Okay.
And
now to flip the coin on that, all right? Because that was a personality-driven show.
Yeah.
Not a character.
Fair or
narrative-driven show. All right. So flipping on the other side, you've got very popular shows out there like Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's just
The Wire. Ooh. The Wire, for example.
Yeah.
What do you think those showrunners would do if the fans were like, "We don't like the fact that you killed this character at the end of that episode, bring them back"?
That already
happens.
They'd tell
them to pound sand and get the hell out of their face.
Yeah.
All right. It would be very much a case of get stuffed, then don't watch it.
Yeah.
And now you could also make the argument that in the case of, say, for example, Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad or The Wire, that like they had a set number of seasons.
Mm.
Like Doctor Who will carry on in perpetuity until the audience runs out.
Yeah.
So,
which I don't think will ever happen.
Yeah.
It's like it's becoming like The Simpsons.
See, I'm kind of erring on the side of like if you insist as an audience that your concerns be taken into account at all times, you are not going to allow a show to be creative. You're not going to allow a narrative to develop. What you're going to get is fan service.
Yeah.
And fan service works...
almost always bad.
Well, not at all. You take a look at Star Wars, like The Force Awakens. That's fan service. I'm sorry. That is total fan service.
Yeah.
You take a look at the first Avengers film. That was fan service as well. Okay.
Well, that was more payoff of multiple movies.
Yeah,
but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but this is my point. You know, the moment like established characters with a big audience deviate from what that audience wants, you can get a backlash and it can go, you know, financially quite bad for you.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For me, this is how I'd sum it up. For me, it all comes down to Sin City. I don't know if you ever saw Sin City.
Yeah, yeah, I love that movie.
Right. Did you ever read the comics?
No.
Right. They are literally shot for shot the comics. Like it's like watching the comic move.
Okay.
Like the comics are the actual storyboards for the film. So there's not a shot or an angle you know, out of place.
That explains why it was so long.
Or a color scheme out of place or whatever. No. The first Sin City was I think it was 3 was it 3 or 2? Could be 2 graphic novels slammed together.
Jeez.
Anyway, my point is this. I watched Sin City, and I went, I didn't really need to watch this because I know what happens.
Yeah.
Not only do I know what happens, there's no original spin put on this. Yeah. There's nothing here apart from actors moving about that makes it different from the comic book.
That's when I also decided,
maybe I'm getting off the fanboy train. I was one of those people who went, I hate that Keanu Reeves is John Constantine. And you watch the film and go, I still hate that. But if they'd called it The Prophecy Part 5, I'd have liked it. You know what I mean? Whereas like now I'm just kind of like, give the directors, give the showrunners room to run. I mean,
yeah, I think like you have to, as a fan, be open to the creators of the content that you love taking a risk. Yeah. And sure, if that risk bombs and the story is terrible, or the story arc, I suppose, is the thing with Doctor Who. Mm. If that is terrible, sure, take the director to task on it. But not knowing anything about the next season, other than the new Doctor is a woman and saying, my life is ruined.
Yeah.
You sound like a drama queen, mate. Sit down.
And if you're really, if something like that can ruin your life, you don't have much of a life.
Sorry.
And you should go get one. Anyway, so that was me with Doctor Who.
To sum up, the internet is angry about something this week. That's the
what are we angry about today, Twitter? Yeah,
people wake up and want to be angry about something.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Maybe I'll watch the first episode. Probably won't, though, because it's...
Well, I mean, they're on
it's
Netflix.
It's so dense. Yeah, but Doctor Who's so dense in terms of the amount of stuff there is and the jumping in points. Like, oh, choose your Doctor. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if a good entry point, if you're interested, is Christopher Eccleston's Doctor Who, because that was when they didn't so much reboot it, but it had been off the air for such a long time that they could actually take a lot of, you know, they could be creative while at the same time, you know, making references to part of the lore. But, you know, they did realize they were attracting a brand new audience, some of whom may never have seen Doctor Who before. So... Yeah. In a way, that's probably, if you're interested, the best place to start is with Christopher Eccleston's Doctor.
Okay. When I invent my time machine and I have more time, I will...
Or when you get on the internet and go to Netflix.
No, I'm saying I don't have the time to watch it. Just before we go into the next subject, talking about Sin City and being like shot-for-shot remakes, what do you think of Watchmen, Nick? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing is, like, Alan Moore is... And by the way, I'm not saying Alan Moore is like, you know, I pray at the altar of Alan Moore. I think he's a fantastic writer, and I also think that there's one film of his that came. There's one film based on his work that came out that he did his usual. It's terrible because it's not a comic, which was Watchmen. Which was V for Vendetta.
Yeah,
and I really enjoyed that. I thought that was rather good. That was a really good adaptation. But I thought Watchmen carried itself with a reverence that you would think that they were basing it on the Dead Sea Scrolls. I thought League of Extraordinary Gentlemen looked great, but was utterly rubbish.
I watched that recently.
It looks great, but it's utter crud.
So just as a personal story, that was one of the first comic books movies I ever watched. Mm. And I recently found the comic book for cheapish, so I bought it and I read it and I was like, this book is so much better than that movie.
Yeah. And then the other one, the other main one he's known for is, what was it? It was V for Vendetta, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Watchmen, and From Hell. Oh. From Hell's the other one that was made into a film, and it's not a patch. It's good for what it is, but it's not a patch on the original graphic novel. Mm. It really isn't. The original graphic novel is about this thick, and then the notes backing up. It's one of those alternative history, but it could have happened this way. And there's a section of notes at the back that's about, you know, a little less thick than the graphic novel that explained to it.
What you need to know about Watchmen, the comic, is that there's an entire essay about owls in the middle.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's a 2,000-word essay about owls.
Could be. I mean, there's...
there is.
Well, it's been a while since I read it. I mean, and I skipped over the things like the interviews with Ozymandias and stuff like that.
Did you read the that comic, the other comic that interjected into it with the...
With the Kraken and the...
Yeah. Because that was like... It was a second story inside of it.
Anyway, so, yeah...
So you guys done?
Yeah.
Speaking of watching stuff, you had to see something recently.
So yesterday, not yesterday, on Monday, I got an email. So I take part in a couple of surveys Just like marketing surveys that people, when they want to launch new products and that sort of thing. And like, I don't get paid for it. It's just something free that I do in my spare time.
And also, how can you expect something to get better in a service or a game that you use unless you take a survey?
So yesterday, or on Monday rather, I got an email about a new TV show in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing was really revealed in the first couple of questions. I was like, they asked you, how likely would you be to watch a locally produced
television show
on a service like Netflix or Showmax or something like that? I was like, very likely. And they were like, please watch the following clip before proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
And the video clip was for the forthcoming Showmax original, which is Tali's Wedding Diary.
Right.
Now, props to Showmax for going a similar route to Mnet and SABC and Netflix and creating their own original programming, but I'm concerned.
Is that an understatement?
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to be diplomatic here, okay? So this show is about a woman named Tali who is...
making a wedding diary?
Yeah, making a wedding diary. She's played by... now I've got to find her name quickly.
But it's the same actress
who the same actress who does Suzelle DIY. And the reason that I can't remember her name offhand is because it's a Greek surname.
She's not Afrikaans?
No, she's not.
Do you feel lied to about this?
I do.
Really?
Anyway, so...
Julia... It is a Greek name. Carry on.
Sorry, I'm not going to have to look this up because we can't.
Hang on, I'll tell.
Julia. It's a Greek name.
Julia Anastasopoulos. I probably butchered that. I apologize to the Greek community of South Africa for offending you. But anyway, so she is playing a Joburg poppy.
What is that?
It's somebody from Sandton that likes to get her nails done.
Okay.
And so it's the stereotypical Sandton Kugel. I think that's the better word.
Yeah, Poppy's more of a South African.
Who goes to Cape Town with her boyfriend named Darren, who is a property salesman.
His name is Julia Anastasopoulos.
There we go. Okay.
What the hell's the matter with the parents?
We weren't born in Europe.
So I was only there for five. Okay, well I did date a Greek girl for a while.
Okay, so
no, I did.
So
that was an important skill that
to
I
get back
to
when you're to get back to anyway. Tali's wedding.
Right.
So her fiance Darren, who is a property guy who has drones, that's what puts him above the competition. Is he gets drone footage of the properties he sells, and these are how these people really talk. Okay, I'm not like. I'm trying my best to do the modern impersonation of these people. So they are doing they're getting married.
He's got drones, which basically means that they can shoot what looks like amateur footage from any conceivable angle that
pretty
they
much.
Want.
Or is that...
Anyway.
It's like with Chronicle. Do you remember Chronicle?
Yeah, Chronicle, he gets telekinesis, and then that's why they can do third person.
Terry cam and steady cam shots that rise up. And
so... It would be fine if like the acting was good or the sound design was good. I mean, okay, so my computer goes quite loud.
Just so we know about this, okay, Brendan's not just spitballing here. He did work as a roadie, so he knows quite a bit about sound design.
So the sound is really bad. The picture quality is...
Not great.
It looks like they took a full color image and then washed out as much color as they could.
Is there a trailer that anyone can watch?
There's no trailer online. Okay. There was just this clip that I had found in the survey.
Be interesting to know of how many people have taken this survey and whether or not there was a trailer clip online before you all did. But anyway.
So it's really, really, it's not even cringeworthy. It's like, I had to watch the whole clip, which is about 18 minutes.
All right, yeah. Okay, so you're basically saying it's bad.
It's bad.
Right, now I'm going to throw some things at you, and I want you to say better or worse.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see, bad. The remake of Point Break. Better or worse?
Worse.
Okay. The third Transformers film, the one where he's climbing up the pyramid and you see the balls.
I'm below in
worse.
The testicles.
Worse than that.
Worse. Oh,
okay.
My.
Okay.
What's something really cringeworthy?
The Room.
But that's the best film ever made, so, I mean...
Works. Are we talking about The Room Room, the actual, the movie?
The Room.
Yes. Oh, hi, Mark. Oh, hi. Tommy Wiseau. Look, okay, nothing is worse than The Room, okay, though.
So that's, so nothing is better. Right. You keep getting it confused.
Okay, you might not remember this. Louise Motors.
I don't remember that.
Do you remember that? Okay, I'm just trying to think of... you see, this is the thing. I stopped...
Okay, so if you remember, like... Okay,
Full House. Do you remember Full House?
No, it's not as good as Full House.
Wow. Wow.
I never thought I'd say Full House. Even the remake of Full House is better than this. Wow. Fuller House, I think it's called. It's just like, okay, so I get why they've done it, because Julia Anastopoulos, she was Suzelle DIY. And I mean, like, just looking at her numbers, she did quite well on YouTube. Apparently, Clint tells us that she has a few shorts on Comedy Central and a show on Comedy Central. Yeah. But she's doing the Suzelle character, though, correct?
Yeah. So the one on, I haven't watched a lot, it's just passing by my parents watching it on DSTV.
Yeah.
But she does have stuff on Comedy Central as Suzelle DIY.
Which is great. And I mean, that's how she's established her brand. But she is an actress at heart.
Right.
Or by, what's the word? By profession, she is an actress. Yeah. So her doing something like this was a given. It's so bad. It's like, I can't foresee the type of person that's going to watch this and go, yeah, I actually want to watch the next episode. Because number one.
See, I'm intrigued now.
The type of, to me, it's aimed at the type of person that enjoys Jersey Shore.
Right.
And
there are a lot of
keeping up with the Kardashians. Yes, great. But this show openly mocks those people, right? It's like if Big Bang Theory went and all they did was just mock geeks all the time.
Isn't that what Big Bang Theory does?
Yeah. I was just making a joke. All right, and you just ruined the punchline. So thank you, Clinton.
Is it worse than the Big Bang Theory?
It is worse than the Big Bang Theory. Like, I could watch Big Bang Theory and kind of go, huh.
I could breathe fast through my nose, like, at the joke they made.
Yeah, like something like that. This whole time, I was just like, oh gosh.
So essentially,
this is going to get out into the world, and they're going to think this is what South Africans think.
What you're essentially saying is that one of the reasons that people, well, I don't know why people do watch the Jersey Shore or shows like that. I'm assuming because it's nice to kind of like peek back behind the curtain with the Kardashians and realize they're as screwed up as you thought they were. But it's also the fact that this is to a degree... I mean, how much of that is staged? How much is it genuinely happening?
Yeah.
I mean, in England, they had a version of the Jersey Shore called the Geordie Shore.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
And they would just basically take these northerners out and get them liquored up. And they'd punch each other. And you knew that when someone punched someone, that really happened. Someone did punch someone. In this instance, I'm assuming that hopefully no one really gets punched.
Well, I mean, there is a warning with the video clip that it contains strong language. And they do say the naughty F word a few times.
Oh.
So it's not like wholesome family viewing. Mm. It's like this is, I believe, appealing to a group of South Africans that want to watch a mockumentary of somebody getting married, but it's not funny.
So in other words, it's a mockumentary of a car crash reality TV show.
Pretty much.
Right. Wait. Is there only a pilot at the moment?
There's not even a pilot. This was a clip that I watched as part of a survey. And then they ask you questions. So after that, you've watched the clip, they ask you, how likely are you to watch this? No. They ask you, what is the best thing about it? And I said, the end. Like, seriously, guys, this is terrible. And then what is the worst part about it? I'm like, please see previous answer. Like, it's just...
There was one question that you answered, I'm more likely to cancel my Showmax
subscription. Yeah, they asked, are you likely to subscribe to Showmax to watch the show? And I responded, I am more likely to cancel my Showmax subscription.
Wow.
Okay, not really. That was a bit extreme.
I really want to know what info they got back from more people.
We'll wait and see.
As much as you say this is bad, I'm now really intrigued and I want to watch it.
Well, maybe that's you guys. I had to do the market testing.
I will watch it, Brendan. If we can find a link, I will watch it.
Okay. So, yeah, props to Showmax, but I do think they could have done something a bit better. Like I was saying to you earlier, like, Salsi went with the Break the Net Challenge, which I always thought was just a bit silly.
Right.
How can you make somebody claim to make somebody the next viral internet star?
How can you break the internet with 100 views?
Well, what you do is you type Google into Google and it breaks the internet.
Oh my God. The early 2000s.
And, but, sorry, now I've lost my train of thought.
A break the net didn't work.
Oh, a break the net. But now Celsius is doing something with startups in a sort of Shark Tank style thing called Hangman, which I have high hopes for because, okay, I'm biased because I like startups and I like that whole scene. Mm. And maybe, and they're doing it at around about the right time where startups are a big talking point. Shows like Shark Tank, people love. So yeah, I think that they kind of went and looked and went, okay, cool, this is what the market is saying. If this is just a test though, I might be able to forgive them. But from what I saw, I have no interest in watching this TV show whatsoever, even though it is proudly South African and produced
locally. Bad, Brendan, because when it comes out, you're going to be reviewing it.
That's fine.
Brendan, what did you watch it on? Was it on Showmax, the link they sent you?
It was to an external marketing company that was doing an online survey.
But where did you watch
the clip? Was embedded in the actual survey, like a video, embedded video.
Can anyone do this survey?
I'm not 100% sure. I can send you the link.
Yeah, and, please do. Send it to Clinton as well, and we'll give you our thoughts.
And then you can try and watch it.
I wonder if we can... I want to post this on Reddit and see what the world says.
You really want to throw this into the shark
tank? Yeah, that's what I want to get South Africa known as, the country that made this.
I don't know. I mean, this is the thing. When I was growing up in Joburg in the 80s and 90s, I just thought, you know, stuff that was, you know, comedy stuff, what was looked at as funny comedy in this country was stuff that I was just like, this is, how can you even laugh at this? Like Leon Schuster.
I was just going to say.
You know, we even got into trouble once because we were doing some radio work. I'll do the radio station a favor and not mention them. But one of our jokes was, I said, you know, someone says something bland and someone goes, oh, that wasn't very funny. He goes, oh, well, it's a good thing we've got the Leon Schuster big book of comedy with us. All right, when something's not inherently funny, just speed it up. Yeah, it's still not funny. Thanks, Leon.
Why? You just reminded me. I've like put that a part of my mind that I don't want to access. They did that a lot in those movies. Like,
I found those movies really funny when I was 7 years old.
Yeah. No, same.
When I was a kid, they were hilarious because you didn't know better.
Yeah.
And then as you started to get exposed to what comedy really was, you realized that Leon Schuster was not it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is it like, I don't know. I mean... When my dad came over from England, he brought his whole record collection with him, and in his record collection were like things like Lenny Bruce and Monty Python's Flying Circus and stuff like that. So from the age of 5-6, I was watching and listening to stuff like that.
Nick's such a hipster. He's such a hipster.
But it's not really like that because like when I was smaller, I didn't even get why Monty Python was funny.
Yeah,
but they were just doing incredibly weird things.
Yeah, I mean, like, I remember watching Only Fools and Horses and not understanding the comedy at all. Yeah.
That was like, banned out here, you know?
But finding it funny because, don't shut up.
Well, it depends on when you got hold of it. When did you get hold of it? How old were you?
I bought the DVDs overseas.
Right?
Look, I was... I was about 10 years old.
10 years old. So 1990?
Yeah, around about
there. By that stage it was legal.
Okay, then it's fine. but it was like only after, like, I think it was about 20 when I went back to watch it. I was like, wow, this show is actually like genuinely funny.
Mm.
Not just because they're doing weird things, but it was really funny. But I go back and watch Panic Mechanic from, I think it was the early 2000s or the 1990s. And... I just cringe into my own skin.
That's brand of comedy. I mean, like, I can't watch Larry the Cable Guy. I can't watch Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah.
I can't watch Gallagher pieces of fruit.
Jeff Dunham. Don't you like the puppet guy?
Which one is he?
Ahmed the Terrorist.
Oh, what, the racist?
No, the racist.
That guy.
That's a pretty good description.
That was really sad because, like, I was still at the end of primary school when he was becoming really popular.
Yeah.
And a lot of his early work was about his wife and kids. Mm. And then when he got really popular, he got divorced. And then he didn't make those jokes anymore. And it was really sad.
Yeah.
And he started, like, he lost some weight. He started wearing better clothes. And I was still like, man, this is sad. I think he has a show on the Vegas Strip. Store.
Have you? This is the thing. We could probably compile a list of comedians who you grow out of.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing.
Dane Cook.
I was just going to say, I'm not joking, when I was 10, we used to watch him and he was the best.
Yeah. But now it's like, why would you want to watch him?
What's that thing he used to do with his hand?
The Maloik.
What was it?
Sufi, that's it.
Yeah. How do you even do it?
One of my favorite. Just is. It was two middle fingers held up because one middle finger. Why don't we even know? I'm not getting a good salary to know this stuff. I mean, you know, one of my favorite clips on the internet is somebody has taken Dane Cook's comedy and, like, he's just walking around doing his comedy, but instead of laughs, they've dubbed in crickets.
They've done that for a few. All I remember about Dane Cook is he did that one bit about the guy who would run around kicking in doors.
Yeah.
And I still remember that being kind of funny. Like, I think if I look it up now,
I think one of my favorite lines ever from him was his roommate came home looking for ice cream and he was digging through the freezer like it was Narnia or something. It was the only thing I remember.
There's a TV show in the United States of America called Mad TV.
Oh, yeah?
And there was a guy on there, and I can't remember his name, but he did a great impression of Dane Cook, which I'll find the clip and we'll stick it at the bottom of this
podcast.
Mad
TV, yeah. Dane Cook.
And the reason he does such a great impression is because you watch him and you go, that's exactly it. Dane Cook uses a formidable stage presence and very kind of energetic stage movements to mask the fact that most of his jokes are as dull as dishwater, and the rest of his material doesn't even count as jokes, okay? They don't even have setups or punchlines. I mean, like, he does this thing where he's like, you know, why do they call bananas bananas? Hmm? Why don't they call them bananas? Aren't bananas filled with fun and delicious goodness? That's why I eat a banana.
Whoa. That's exactly
what about Dane Cook. What about Carrot Top? Was Carrot Top the guy who always uses huge props?
I tell you, look, I love this podcast, but we have gone off road, boy.
Yeah, we have gone
off road. What do you mean?
When we talk about Carrot Top, you know we've gone far off course.
It's the logical conclusion of all talks.
So, yeah. The first time I saw Carrot Top was when he won the Best American Stand-Up Comedian Award at the American Comedy Awards in 1994. And do you know who he beat in that category?
Who?
Bill Hicks.
Wow. We've done a great disservice to Bill Hicks.
Carrot Top is scary looking.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Okay.
Anyway, forget all this.
Enough of Carrot Top. So Tali's Wedding, I will give it a chance, but from what I saw, I do not have high hopes.
Hey, look, at the end of the day, if you don't feel as though you can impartially review this thing, I'm more than happy to step on board with a bottle of tequila.
And but Doctor Who, I think we should all give a chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give it a fighting chance.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week, Clinton.
Yes, everybody. We will see you next week. We'll be back with another show. Hopefully, we won't talk about Carrot Top. For myself, for Nick.
Boo!
Delay there for Brendan and Cheerio. Everybody else at HTXC. We will see you next week. Bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.